If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
On who is living. It's no police, no money going to police. This is, I may be saying that wrong, same address as...
She's not cussing. She's just...
$75 million to cure violence, $210 million to affordable housing, $100 million to health and human services, zero to police. Well, here's somebody.
Jeez.
I think it is... wants all the money to go to cure violence, affordable housing, human services, nothing to go to police. That address is on.
I'm so torn because I don't know what the hell she was doing here. That was Lyda Crewson, who's the mayor of St. Louis, my and Kane's hometown. And when I'm looking at why she was reading the names of people who... she's reading the names of these, I guess, people who wanted the police defunded somehow. And I'm not quite sure why, but she's a Democrat. So that explains it.
Right.
Lyda Crewson's a Democrat. St. Louis is a Democrat city. Welcome to the show. Oh boy. I hope you're buckled up. It's one of them. It's one of them times. DanaLash.com, @DLash on Twitter, official DanaLash on Facebook, channel 248, Pluto TV via the first. Okay. So that's out of the way. So what ended up happening in St. Louis is all hell broke loose, and as all hell broke loose, there are these photos and this video of these protesters that were in St. Louis, and specifically they weren't in the suburbs. And I love all the people who are like, "Oh, here's my hot take expert. Shut the hell up. It's not the suburbs. It's in the city. It's a residential gated area within the city and a very old money part of St. Louis City. In fact, this particular area, the Westmoreland, the Portland, it's in what's called Central West End. And this is where during the days of like the Bush beer, early Bush dynasty and all of this stuff, the early days, and all of these homes were built like in the late 1800s, early 1900s. A lot of restoration was done in the 1960s. They're like some of the grandest and stateliest homes in all of St. Louis. And I lived down the road. I actually lived right near this area. I used to go by this area in some ways going to work. Kane knows this area well. And it's like a gated community within the city. It's kind of odd to say because it's off a very busy road, a highway, basically, not an interstate. But and all of the streets are blocked off from public access. And there's, you have to go around and kind of in the back to get in there. When I was in college, I actually did, as part of an assignment, an interview with someone who lived there, and I don't even remember exactly what it was for, but they know when you're there. It's a private area. And so what ended up happening is you had a mob of people who were mad at Lyda Crewson, who was reading out the names of people who wanted to defund the police, and they decided they were going to march onto this residential area, this private residential area, and that they busted through a gate, which it's a big old wrought iron gate, and that blocks the public access. And there are signs everywhere that say private property, private, 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 private. And they were walking to Lyda Crewson's house because they decided that they were going to go protest right outside of her house, since they said that she put a hit out on people by reading their whole defund the police stuff. And so they went marching and they passed this couple, and You can see the video and you can see all of the photos out there. I have stuff linked up on my website. Don't sit here and act like, do not, I will lose it on you. Do not for 1 second act as though that we are all stupid and we are all going to believe your gaslighting BS, that these people were just peacefully walking by and they weren't doing anything. In fact, there were people who were like walking up the sidewalk off of the public causeway, which really wouldn't be public since it's a private residential neighborhood, that they were walking off of the sidewalk, off the street, up the sidewalk towards the home, the property sidewalk towards the door. And here's one thing I want to make blisteringly clear to everybody listening, because I'm so tired of this. There's two things that can be simultaneously true. They can coexist in the same reality. And the first is that a mob of people indisputably broke through a private gate, trespassed on private property, and going through a private residential gated area, and thereby threatening the hell out of the scared homeowners. That is absolutely true. It is not up for dispute. You can also simultaneously believe that the couple in question had pee poor firearms handling. But here's my problem, is that all of the people out there who are defending the violence and the rage of the mobs, they act like somehow the latter justifies the former. And that's garbage. That is a garbage take from garbage people who should be treated with contempt. I've seen so many headlines. Well, you know, they're walking down a street. So they're going to escalate by point. No. First off, it is the provocation is breaking through a private gate and walking into a private residential neighborhood screaming about killing the cops. Oh, don't believe me? Why don't you go back and watch as much video as I have of everything? I'll wait. I'll sit here and wait. And we'll all sit here and wait while you do your homework. I'm not in a mood. I'm done. This is so, it's so ridiculous. What did you think defund the police was going to look like? What did you think defund the police was going to look like? Once you started having mobs of people, and don't tell me that, well, they had nothing to fear, really, because not more than 15 minutes from that address, there were people getting their ass beat on camera over a statue. And one of them is someone I know. So don't. In fact, not far from this area, you could just hop on King's Highway. This is my hometown, so I know these roads. You could hop on King's Highway, get yourself down a little bit closer to downtown, a little closer to Tucker, right there where David Dorn was murdered. That simple. So don't tell me people had nothing to fear. Don't tell me that people had nothing to fear, especially when we've seen stuff like this happen beforehand. Let me take you back just to actually a week ago. In Milwaukee, a mob burned down a home in a mistaken attempt at vigilante justice. Reported by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They burned down a home. Oh, wait a minute. It was a mistake, though. Oh. Wrong house. We have for weeks now, we have seen violence, destruction, all kinds of stuff. We have seen all of this broadcast hours a day, weeks on end into our homes. It's all distilled down through the broadcast. And so you are shocked that people, after witnessing all of this, that they would be nervous when an angry mob, after a weekend of headlines dominating St. Louis press about people getting beaten up because of the St. Louis statue. Mm-mm. I'm going hard at any single person that dares push this narrative. And you should too. Did they handle their fire? I already wrote about it, so sit down. Did they handle their firearms properly? I love firearm expert Twitter. This is where I can legitimately tell people to sit down. No, they didn't handle their firearms right. But what do you think? Do you think that they maybe, and I hope that they go and get the training, because there's a lot of great ranges that are within a 30-minute drive from where they're at. But the idea that the mob's ridiculousness, and they were screaming awful things. They were screaming stuff just walking down the road. They were, so don't sit here and tell me when you're talking about dead cops and when you're talking about getting lidocaine and all this stuff. And I don't even like this woman. Don't sit here and act like that these people have no reason, that any homeowner or that any peaceful person has any reason to expect anything great from a mob of people. I have yet to see it. I've yet to see it. And the attempt to gaslight everyone into believing that the justification for the mob's behavior is, well, these people couldn't handle their firearms. These people wouldn't have come out their damn house if there hadn't been a mob of people that broke through a private gate and walked down and trespassed on private property. That would not have been an issue. Now, the way that she's holding it like a teacup hurts my soul. Like, I mean, sidebar here. And here's one of the things that I want everyone to really pay attention to as well. And yes, you can sit here and talk about technique and you can talk about handling and all of that other stuff. Do you know why I mention that? Because I want people to be effective and I want people to be able to protect themselves. If you don't know how to handle your firearm and you don't have a strategy in place, you are going to be, you're going to end up at a loss and you'll be at a disadvantage. So if you care about people's safety and you want good people to be able to defend themselves as well if mobs bust up into their house, then you need to be on the same page as I am. And I don't know how many classes I've taken in the past decade. Every single class I have ever taken, the one thing that was always stressed to me, first and foremost, was de-escalation. That's why, you know, in Texas, people who have their concealed carry permits, they mess up their crime, and that the fact that they have a concealed carry permit is made public. You realize that there's a great responsibility that comes with carrying your firearm, with exercising your Second Amendment right. And de-escalation is one of your top priorities. You have the responsibility to de-escalate the issue. Now, no one knows what they would do in a situation like this. Unless you've done a lot of training, you don't know. Everyone always is like, well, I'd rise to the occasion. You're a fool. And you're going to get yourself hurt. No one rises to the occasion. They fall back. The saying is you fall back to your highest level of training. And that's true. Some of the force-on-force training that I've done previously, I actually, the first time we actually did, went through a run like that, I actually surprised myself. Because I always thought that I would be super quick and blah, blah, blah. And I was hesitating to the point where I was, at least in the scenario, I was getting myself killed. And they, and all of my trainers were like, that's actually every single firearm owner. There's very rare, and so everyone who says that they're always quick on the trigger, it's just not supported. It's not supported by any study. Anyway, long story short, you have an obligation to de-escalate. And I want people to be able to protect themselves, and I want people to stay safe, and I want people to have the confidence that comes from knowing your firearm and knowing that you are in your own capable hands. We're going to address some of the press reaction to all of this too, because I'm done. The war on Facebook. Wait until you hear the latest. The big fascistic bully strategy here against Facebook. More companies now are boycotting advertising on Facebook. We have the Villages golf cart boogaloo. That's going to be coming up. Oh my gosh, that happened over the weekend. We got to talk about that. We're going to have the latest with the coronavirus. Pence won't bend the knee. They're going to try to jack you voters. All kinds of stuff. And Falling Down with Michael Douglas. I feel like I should watch that this week. Just saying. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or the First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Let's check in on Chicago and see how that whole defund the police thing is going. Oh, 112 injured or killed in 83 shootings over 9 days. Oh, wait, this is New York. Well, also defund the police in New York. I have other stats for Chicago. With some saying, quote, I haven't seen anything like this in my entire life. Yeah, that's just in New York. There's been an uptick in Chicago, and I have a list of other cities where there's an uptick in crime. NYPD said there's been 503 shooting incidents with 600 victims this year as of Sunday, and of course, it's really ticked up. And one officer was said that he's the one who gave the quote, I've never seen anything like this ever, which I don't think anybody really has at this point. Oh, my heavens. It's bad. This is what it looks like. It's the House voted on legislation to make D.C. the 51st state, which is stupid and unconstitutional. The bill's not going to pass the Senate. We'll talk more about that later on in the program as well. And of course, we're going to talk to Stephen Yates about this headline. Russia stands accused of secretly offering Afghan militants bounties to go out and kill U.S. troops. And they say that the administration was deliberating for months about what to do about this. But that's actually being contested by Rich Grenell and others in the know. We'll discuss that. Also, this, I wanted to grab this headline too. This comes out of the Courier Journal from Louisville. So the individual that Stephen Lopez, he's the suspect in the fatal Jefferson Square Park shooting that took place. Well, apparently this 23-year-old is facing charges of murder and first-degree wanton endangerment. Louisville Metro Police said that he's apparently been arrested before. Like, he's a protester, a rioter, actually, and he's been there at some of the riots. And he was apparently arrested once and then just released because that's how there's been so many people doing this that I know. So I don't think that anybody is actually shocked about that. New York Post says that the 18-year-old, you remember the video in Macy's where the guy was on a company call and he was like folding a sweater set and he got jumped from behind and beaten down right on camera? Okay, well, that 18-year-old who was involved in that was charged for assaulting this Macy's staffer. Domri Palmer of Mount Morris Township faces one count of felony assault with intent to do great bodily harm, less than murder. So pretty unbelievable. So at least some justice is coming out there. We have a lot more. Stick with us.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
We had an opportunity, and here's a classic example, Jake. The chokehold. The difference between their bill and my bill on the chokehold was the carotid. That is the primary, the largest difference is whether or not the flow of air plus the flow of blood should be included in the definition. I told the folks that I was negotiating with, I will accept that as an amendment, and I'll offer it myself so that my 52 other Republicans will come along with me. They said, no thanks. I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you won't take your own definition as a way to improve the bill?
Yeah. That's Democrats. It's Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott. His bill and their bill were virtually the same with a couple of little differences, but they would not meet him anywhere and have this conversation. They were not going to consider it. Welcome back to the show. That reform bill that he put forward, and that it was, and I ended up changing the show kind of at the last minute because I was going to go into the comparison of each of what Democrats wanted and what Republicans wanted. Long story short, it's almost identical. I'm not kidding. Like, it is literally every single like caveat there matches. I am the only thing that I can think as to why Democrats did not want to commit to it is because it would have looked as though this is a Trump administration win. Don't think that that's something small to say as a way to just sort of shrug off the argument, but that's literally what it is. I mean, last night I wrote a piece up on our website. Our host is experiencing some difficulties right now, so the website's inaccessible, but it'll be up in a little bit. I wrote a short bit last night on the situation about the police reform bill and Van Jones, because Van Jones, who I've known for a number of years, the first time I ever met him was when I ambushed him, and it was at a Netroots event in Rhode Island. And the police reform bill that he was working on with Republicans. He was working with Jared Kushner and other people within the Trump administration, and the rage mob tried to cancel him last night. And I don't even agree with him on a lot of stuff. And I think some of the stuff he says is silly, but some of the stuff he says is spot on. And he was working with the Trump administration to come together on some police reform bill. And when that was discovered, the Daily Beast, and you could see that they called all their lieutenants up. Every single person at the Daily Beast needs to be tweeting out this story multiple times and really going at Van Jones here. They decided to go at him and suggest basically that he can't be used for as punditry or analysis on any network because he worked with the Trump administration on this. Well, he's got an organization. That's what they do. I mean, I'm pretty sure that CNN was aware of this when they began working with him, that he has an organization that works specifically with this type of advocacy. And he was meeting with the Trump administration to try to figure out how the best to come to some kind of common ground. And isn't that the whole point? I mean, can we just pause for a whole moment on this and say and ask, isn't that the point of all of this, is that you are trying to, wouldn't you, as an advocate of whatever issue, want to be able to influence the president to at least see the merits of your advocacy and maybe come to some kind of agreement on some things that everyone agrees on, bring the right to the table and have everyone hash it out so that it best benefits the issue? Because when you have steel sharpening steel here, or iron sharpening iron, and you have this distillation of ideas, that ultimately benefits the issue and the people caught up in the issue. And you would think if you were a real advocate, that's what your goal would be. But that's not what these people's goals are. All of the people that claim that criminal justice is their big issue and police reform is their big issue and that are mad because Van Jones decided to work with the Trump administration on it. You should have seen some of the stuff that they were putting in the Daily Beast piece. They were like, oh, his new best friend, Jared Kushner, and all of this, because you can't be someone on the left and try to find a workable way to some conclusion with someone on the right. I wrote in Grace Canceled that any kind of common ground is prohibited, that any establishment of like-mindedness, even on a single, just tiny little thin issue, is considered a betrayal. You're not allowed to do it. So these people that are out here are advocacy posers. They don't care about criminal justice reform. They don't care about police reform. If they cared about it, they would have served the issue instead of serving ego. They would have served the issue and would have done what was best for the issue by way of influencing the administration, talking to people, and bringing them around to at least hearing out the merits of their cause. And by refusing to do that, they short-sold their own issue. That's not an advocate. It's a hurt and rescue game. These people create a problem and then they pretend to be the rescuers. Oh, but they can't do it because it's the other guy's fault. And then they continue this grievance industry. They got mad at Van Jones because he almost ended their gravy train. They got mad at, and ultimately too, I think some of Van Jones's punishment is because he said that you got to worry about the white racist liberal Hillary voters. I think this was delayed penalty for his remark there. So it's a twofer. They're sending a message to their base. Don't you dare think about crossing that aisle to work with anyone. And also they're punishing him because of what he said there. It was so silly to see these journal. I love watching these journalists, these sanctimonious, pompous stuff shirts that act as though this wasn't entirely organized. And they're all tweeting at the same time. It's silly to see. So the war on Facebook, I have a million things. So I'm going to jump into this, but I have to address the whole Villages golf cart boogaloo thing. I say this jokingly. It's hysterical. People keep asking me, what is the boogaloo thing? I think it's a silly word, and that people who are in the media who desperately want to diminish anyone with whom they disagree, they want to use that as a way to do so. It's not, I don't know if there's actually a boogaloo movement. I think it's always, I've only heard military people use it as a joking term to talk about those who like to flex in public and act like a civil war is coming. I don't really, it's just a funny word. It's a funny word. Seriously. I've said it before. The boog sounds like a Gwyneth Paltrow version of a prepper store, right? It's like you have the boogaloo, and then make sure before the boogaloo to stop by the boog and get your hemp, your woven hemp tactical bags. I mean, it's what it sounds like. Anyway, I just think it's funny, golf cart boogaloo, because that's what happened in the Villages. I don't know a lot about the Villages. Admittedly, this is what I know about the Villages. What's there to know? Is it a, I know it's a lot of older people go there and live there, right?
That's one way to put it.
Is it a planned retirement community? I'm trying not to Google it because it's more interesting if I don't.
It is a retirement community.
Okay. Now, isn't there multiple little towns in the villages? Like, there's multiple different villages, thus the plural villages?
Yes, that is true.
Okay. And so, do people have cars there? Because I've only ever seen people drive golf carts.
Yeah, I don't know about the cars, because you're right. I don't,
so it's like an entire planned community, and it's of retired people, right? Okay. And so they have, like, and the reason I ask if they have different little villages within the villages is I just wondered if there was any kind of, like...
Like a sub-village?
Competitiveness, yeah. Like competition between the different sub-villages. Okay.
Is.
Anyway, I think they've been doing these golf cart things regularly. This fascinates me. And I really feel like the people who made Tiger King are missing out on an amazing opportunity to go to the villages, because some of my friends were saying, oh, you don't know about the villages? Like, someone was saying that they have like chop shops for golf carts and like anything goes and it's crazy. And I'm like, is it really though?
I didn't hear that.
I don't know. It may have been.
That's pretty amazing though, if that's true.
I'm just saying, what do you always say? Old people are not innocent.
Not all old people are innocent. There are some old people that are completely innocent. Not all old people are innocent.
So what happened is, in this video that apparently the president he retweeted. He didn't watch it. Clearly he didn't watch it. In fact, I had to watch it twice because I just wasn't paying attention. You have these people who, this is like the third video that I've seen in a number of weeks where people are screaming at each other from their golf carts. So you have the liberal seniors and the conservative seniors, the Democrat seniors and the Republican seniors in the villages. Is that their main road there? And they are having a golf cart parade? I don't know.
Yep.
But so they're just going in a circle. And the guy who, and then the people who get in front of the golf cart, like the protesters do with cars on the highway, that just seems stupid.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
When you're that old, why are you getting in front of any vehicle?
Right.
Let's be real.
You know? So they're driving around, and then the one guy, they're yelling at each other. Admittedly, I had to watch this video two times before I was like, oh, that's what he said. Because I just wasn't paying attention. I honestly wasn't paying attention. By the way, one of the things you learn from these videos from the villages is that not all golf carts are created equal.
That is true.
Did not know that. But one of the guys was screaming white power or something like that.
Apparently.
I think he was probably doing it to troll the people on the... I don't really think that he was actually saying this and believing it. I think he was doing it to troll the people who were standing on the side. But nuance be damned, because the media got the optic that it wanted. And so immediately was like, look, we finally found one old person who's white saying this. It must mean he believes it. I mean, we're going to completely exclude any kind of context where he's like trolling and really trying to rile up, which I think there are better ways to rile people up than by doing that. But I don't know. It's hot down there. And I don't think those golf carts have AC.
Nope.
And if you're under 18 or under 19, you're not allowed to live in the villages. I am so fascinated by this whole thing. And grandkids, you cannot visit for more than 30 days within a calendar year.
Whoa.
Right?
Like all year?
Mm-hmm.
So
no more than 30 days.
You can't stay a full week or a full month, I mean?
No.
Unless...
No, I mean, you can't stay 31 days.
That's unreal.
You can only stay 30 days, not 31 days.
They certainly do not like young people.
Well, I mean...
That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, I don't know. And then somebody said that the guy who was in the golf cart yelling the thing, apparently he is not a part of the villages. Or something. And that's according to the guy who's the founding member of Villagers for Trump. That sounds like a Minecraft group. Villagers for Trump. That's what it sounds like. I am just fascinated by this. But everything is geared towards the older people there. It's like a whole, it's like Cocoon, but with golf carts. I'm just fascinated because why is this not a show? You guys are, my mom watched Golden Girls all the time when she, and I watched it with her. I was a kid and she was in her 30s. People will watch it. It's like Golden Girls, but with a Tiger King flair, right? Anyway, the media was making so much of this. They really were. Well, oh, but here's the, can I play this jokingly? It is hysterical. And again, I think this guy was just trying to rile up the left. But I saw this video. It is hysterical. Jingle? Yeah, the new jingle for the Villages. It's so funny. Tongue in cheek, guys. I mean, clearly, he's trolling the people who are apparently, they just want to believe it. I think there are people who want, okay, they want like the racism to exist.
New TV show is what it sounds
like. It's like, I'm telling you, it's like Tiger King. It's Tiger King, but it's the Villages. So on the way, a lot of other companies are joining this boycott against Facebook, right? The left is mad because Facebook runs Trump ads, and they also don't like that. That even though Facebook has taken down some conservative pages and they haven't actually been completely even-handed, it's that's not enough. And I think that Zuckerberg was trying to have his cake and eat it too. So the Stop Hate for Profit campaign, which literally profits off hate, is now going to ask European companies to join their boycotts. So they have Coca-Cola, Verizon, Unilever, I don't even know who the hell that is. Starbucks isn't in on, they're not a part of the boycott. And Facebook saw its shares drop $56 billion over in valuation on Friday because the effort is impacting its perception. This is a fascistic campaign against Facebook because Facebook won't bend the knee and curtail speech. And I think with this, you can pretty much say it's pretty much censorship because you've got people in government who are calling for this. This is why I'm not on. This is the thing that stops me from being full on, let's go with the Section 230 modifications because of the stuff like this. So we're going to talk about this in depth coming up. And then, of course, John Roberts and the decision on abortion in Louisiana. We've got that for you. A lot of people unhappy with his decision. And the latest with cancel culture and more. It's a packed show.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Tearing down statues is not free speech. There will be no tolerance for vandalism or violence in the United States, and we will prosecute those who do it to the fullest extent of the law.
Vice President Mike Pence, who also keeps coming under fire because he says that he's not going to say Black Lives Matter because he says all lives matter, born and unborn. And he told this to CBS. He's told this to a number of different outlets who've pressed him on it. And he's right in that this is the argument structure of this is that if you do not repeat the mantra Black Lives Matter, then what you're saying is that you are a racist or you believe that they don't matter. And that's a false argument. That doesn't make sense logically. You can believe that all lives equally matter before the law, and everyone who breaks the law will be found, will receive due process equally underneath it or before it. But this isn't just a statement. What it is affirmation of a very organized group and the movement that that very organized group is promoting, which is Marxist at its core. I've talked about this. I've written about it. I've been writing and talking about Black Lives Matter since 2015. Keep in mind that after Michael Brown was shot, after he tried to go for Darren Wilson's gun in Ferguson, Black Lives Matter was there. It began as a community, grassroots, or initially a little group that was organizing and marching, but it was swiftly taken over for a fact. This is not up for dispute. Acorn, everybody remembers Acorn. They turned into the organization called Moore. And in St. Louis, Moore had offices. And it was the replacement group for Acorn. It was virtually the same people that were in Acorn. They just restructured themselves to get away from the limelight and to, you know, keep doing what they were doing. And they brought in all of these protesters from all around the country, and they were paying them to go and do this stuff in Ferguson. That's also indisputable. And we know this is a fact because when they stopped paying those people that they brought in, those people staged a public protest outside of Moore's offices. It was reported on. I wrote about it at the time. I covered it on air. It was on CBS. It was everywhere. USA Today. And they trended hashtag cut the check on Twitter. And so it has for years, it's been hijacked years ago. And it is very Marxist at its core, which is why criminal justice reform, policing reform actually isn't high up on the list of priorities if you go and look and see what they do. We have a lot more on the way. That armed couple in Central West End, the war on Facebook, and a lot of cancel culture. Stick with us.
It's The Dana Show.
This segment of The Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
So it's not like I'm sitting here pushing a button, or anyone can push that button. But if people keep seeing these images of their babies, of their relatives, of black people being killed, they keep dealing with financial inequality and inequity, and it reaches a point of frustration, then people lash out. This is a matter of inevitability that people will lash out because they're feeling like they're backed into a corner.
I don't buy that at all. That's Newsom, the guy who's a part of the Black Lives Matter that's in New York. I don't believe that at all. And I think that it's justification for going about, how can I put this? I guess advocacy in a break the knees mafia kind of way. I don't know. That just seems what that's what it's like. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. All 3 hours live streamed. Facebook, YouTube, channel 248, Pluto TV via the first, danalash.com. Get my book Grace Canceled as well, because I get into all of this stuff. We're going to dive into what you need to be paying attention to in this war on Facebook. We're going to talk about that coming up because it's incredibly important. And you need to be aware of what could actually be coming down the road here. Also, they're trying to jack you. Republican operatives are spreading this rumor that, well, you know, Trump, if his polls aren't good, he could drop out. That's not true. We're also going to get into the latest with cancel culture. And I mean, there is a lot with cancel culture, including Golden Girls and, oh my goodness, The Simpsons and BoJack and a million other things. So we're going to get into all of that. The thing that I've been really watching, the top, I guess, two stories that I've been really, really paying attention to just in the past 24 hours is what is going on in my hometown in St. Louis. And I was telling Kane about this. There's been all the ingredients of a perfect storm there for quite some time. When I lived in St. Louis, I lived in St. Louis City. I lived right off Highway 40. I was, you know, right there. And I love the city. I love the city's architecture. I love the aesthetic of it. I love the Mississippi River. I mean, I love it. But the city itself was having problems. You had decades of poor far left Democrat management, high taxes on businesses in the city, and the opportunities that were missed. It just was, they were running the city into the ground. There was a resurgence like in the early aughts, and everybody went to Washington Avenue. Remember they used gentrification like a bad term. But the revitalization of Washington Avenue and all the restaurants and the lofts and all of this stuff that they put in, I mean, they were trying to recreate Austin, Texas and St. Louis. And it was going really, really well, but then reality hit. You had the suburban sprawl that happened. And now, with everything going on right now, people don't have a desire to return to the city. And the crime started increasing, you know, et cetera, and it was not sustainable. I don't even know, do they still keep Washington Avenue? I know they were closing it at certain portions. You couldn't even drive through because they were having shootings and stuff.
Yeah, at that point, I remember. Late last year, and it was fully open, you know, all the way from, you know, down First Street, essentially, mm-hmm. all the way to, you know, I guess Tucker and beyond.
I used to go to Hair of the Dog there. That's where I used to go with my friends. Yeah, back years ago. But the city itself is very left-leaning. And it's also what we were saying. It has like one of the largest Catholic populations I've ever seen outside of the Vatican. Or maybe, I guess, I don't know what, Baston? Go up to Baston? I'm not even saying that right. But a huge, huge Catholic community. I remember my husband and I, when my second son was still a baby, we were looking at houses in South St. Louis, and they're those quaint storybook looking gingerbread houses. And they have the little place for the Mary statue to go. And everyone asks you immediately what parish you're from. And even if you, you know, you're raised Baptist and are non-denominational. But it's very Catholic. Now, I bring this up because I see two factions on the left that are going at each other now. Because all of those Catholics that are in St. Louis have predominantly, in St. Louis City proper, have predominantly voted Democrat. They voted Democrat reliably. It's just, it's like, it's one of those things how Democrats have tried to trademark every single identity politic block. Well, they've done it with Catholicism too. And so, and no one talks about abortion. No one brings that up. They just keep real quiet about it. So then you had the situation with the statue, St. Louis, the statue, and then all the protests and everything happening there, and Catholics coming out and praying the rosary and showing up and trying to defend and stop the removal of it. You had this guy, his name's Reverend Stephen Schumacher, and God love him. Can I just be frank? He's a nerd.
He is.
He's a nerdy little priest. Bless him. And he's going out there as calm as could be, and he's trying to explain why there are people who support the existence of the statue and why it shouldn't be removed. And it didn't really, I don't know if people heard him. Listen.
I've been asked questions. I'm willing to answer them, but you have to listen to the answer.
That's why we heard.
Okay. So, St. Louis was a man who had authority thrust upon him. He didn't do anything to earn it. You're right. He didn't do anything to earn it. What did he do with that authority? Do you know what he did? Go down to the St. Louis Cathedral, and you'll see some of the history that St. Louis did. St. Louis was...
Eventually, we're taking that too, though.
St. Louis was a man who
He's
willed
trying.
To use his kingship to do good for his people.
So they're mad. They're mad at this, you know, nerdy reverend who's trying to, and they keep going, well, and in fact, what is it? The Archdiocese released a statement where they were talking about the removal of the statue. And it's, so if you, it is iconic. And I can't, if you've never been there, it's hard to explain. St. Louis, the statue is on what's called Art Hill. And Art Hill is a big slope in front of the St. Louis Art Museum. It is one of the most iconic spots in St. Louis besides the Arch. And it is the most picturesque. It's one of my favorite spots in the city. I've sled down Art Hill, although I would always be terrified because there's a giant pond at the base of the hill. And it is, I've had picnics with my kids there. I mean, we've, you know, and right in the middle, at the top of the hill, right in front of the Art Museum, is that statue. And it is... It's just St. Louis, the city, not the person. It's the city. The city has taken over that statue more than the person that it was built to represent. So it's just iconic in that manner. So the Archdiocese released a statement where they said that they were talking about what, because I'll be honest with you, I don't know a damn thing about the actual Saint dude who's the statue for. I don't know anything about him. I really don't. I just know that statue. And I noticed that STL Today, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which is the daily newspaper there, full disclosure, I used to work there until they got uncomfortable with my Second Amendment beliefs. They were saying, well, the statement doesn't address the criticism that he led a violent crusade against Muslims in the Middle East. Wait, I'm sorry. You mean the response to centuries of Muslim aggression? Because that's how that went. And you are being a disingenuous history hater by... pretending otherwise. So full stop. It was in response to literal centuries of Muslim aggression. Centuries. No. So why should it? But there have been Catholics going and they've been standing there for the statue. And it's not that people are wanting to protect a statue. It's what, to me, when I see... Because I don't know anything about the Saint dude. I literally had to learn about him since all of this stuff came up. I lived there my entire, born and raised in St. Louis. Didn't know anything about the statue, except that it was there and it was on Art Hill. It's people aren't praying for a piece of stone. At this point, it is about preserving, I think, grace and decency and common sense and Western culture, which encompasses everybody. If you like freedom, well, that's a facet of Western culture. That's what it's about. Now, all of this with the statue, because I've seen video of people getting beaten and attacked, and I had one another one up here. There's all kinds of they were getting beaten and attacked and everything else. And this was just right there with right down King's Highway from Central West End, because you can go right actually go through if you're I'm going to turn into a Californian all of a sudden and explain the best way to go to get to. To avoid traffic, you could be at Art Hill and in like maybe 5 to 8 minutes basically be at the home of Mark and Patricia McCloskey. So this is the armed couple that everybody sees, and they were outside of their home at Westmoreland Place, which is this is a gated private residential area in Central West End, which is in within St. Louis City. It is not the suburbs, it is the city. And it's a very beautiful part of St. Louis City. In fact, this area, this is where a lot of the old money from the late 1800s, early 1900s, this is where it coalesced. And the houses are beautiful and they've been restored. And I mean, they're just gorgeous. And it's very St. Louis. And the couple apparently were having dinner. And that's when all of these protesters decided to break through the gate, and don't tell me that they didn't break through the gate, please, because there are so many images of said gate broken on the internet and video. So let's just full stop. Let's stop saying that no one broke through the gate, because there's literal images and video of said broken gate. Now, they went through, busted through the gate, and were trespassing in this private residential neighborhood. And they were there at one point. There's video showing one individual going up the steps to the sidewalk to the home that's now on the home's property. That's not just out in the street of the private residential area. And so the couple came out with guns. Now, as I said, there are two things that are simultaneously true here. And we have to realize that nuance exists. Okay. Two things can be simultaneously true. The first is that a mob of people broke through a private gated area, thereby threatening some scared homeowners. And it can also be simultaneously true that the couple in question poorly handled their firearms. The problem is that the people defending the angry mob are trying to somehow justify the mob's behavior with by how the couple handled their firearms. You can't stop. You can't act like the latter somehow justifies the former. That is irresponsible garbage. And it wasn't that protesters were simply walking past. They stormed into a private residential neighborhood and were screaming threats at people. They were there to target St. Louis City Mayor Lyda Crewson, who for the life of us, we cannot figure out why she went on a live stream and began giving out the names and addresses of people who wanted to defund the police. Cannot for the I don't know why she did that. She's a Democrat. Right. But still, that isn't I don't know why she did that. So there I wanted it because there's been a development now. The couple released a statement through their attorney. And they said this. This is the statement. Quote, St. Louis lawyers support, which was spelled wrong, Black Lives Matter, wish to set the record straight. Also, this cannot be. How is this a real thing with all the typos? Because I'm noticing like. Because this just came out. So it said that Mark McCloskey, Patricia McCloskey, wished to set the record straight about the protest on one hand and the actions of a few individuals who chose to exploit the otherwise peaceful protest to place Mr. and Mrs. McCloskey in fear of imminent harm. That said that both of them are lawyers. Their professional careers have been punctuated by a longstanding commitment to protect the civil rights of clients, the victimized at the hands of law enforcement, which is true. In fact, the guy is actually representing an individual who in 2019 says that he was the victim of police violence. And so Mark McCloskey, the husband in that situation, he is representing him. It said the peaceful protesters were not the subject of scorn or disdain by the McCloskeys. To the contrary, they were supportive. They said that it was they were afraid and that the agitators responsible for the trepidation were white. So we're running out of time right now. I'm going to come back to this because there's more to it. So quick break. Nearly a decade ago, Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, was founded by freedom-loving Americans to help you support the values in which you believe. A portion of every dollar earned goes to support organizations that fight for First and Second Amendment rights. Also, they support sanctity of life and the needs of veterans and first responders. For a limited time, you can take advantage of Patriot Mobile's Let Freedom Ring promotion. Now through July 11th, get incredible discounts like a free phone or get a free month of service and free activation. High-value commitment plans to fit your budget. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com and use promo code FREEDOM at checkout. Their U.S.-based sales and support team will help you get unlimited talk and data and no hidden fees on their dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks. Call today to get the biggest promotion of the year. 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com, promo code FREEDOM. Let freedom ring with Patriot Mobile.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so this totally creeps me out, this headline. It comes from a British publication, Daily Star. And NASA scientists detect parallel universe next to ours where time runs backwards, and I am here for that. Although, what? How does that work in reality? Physicists have been debating this since 1952, where we actually live in a multiverse, when quantum science pioneer Erwin Schrödinger gave a lecture where he said that, you know, this is a possibility, it could exist. So now NASA's saying, well, it looks like we may have found some evidence of this. Many millennials say that they are stressed all the time. And they're watching job mobility plunge. A survey shows close to half of Gen Z and 44% of millennial respondents say they are stressed half, if not all, of the time. Mike Lindell, the guy who runs MyPillow, it looks like he may be running for governor, Minnesota. It's currently led by Tim Walz, but it looks like there's a lot of discussion as to whether or not Mike Lindell is going to challenge him. We got a lot more in store. Stick with us.
This portion of The Dana Show is brought to you by Caltech. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Caltech. Visit us at caltechweapons.com.
Sick of all the shooting and the killing, the lawlessness, and I gotta call out Black Lives. They are a joke. If they really care about the Black Lives, what about Chicago?
I submit to you that 12 kids.
I submit to you that Black Lives is nothing more than a profiteer. If it does not involve a police officer, they don't care about those Black Lives. That three-year-old girl, Reverend Al won't get on his private jet and speak at that girl's funeral. And these corporations, stop giving money to Black Lives. They don't care about the lives that are being lost right now. It is a sham organization. Nothing more, nothing less. And they are a funnel group for the extremists on the left.
Yeah, well, there you have it. It's a great point that Leo Terrell makes. That it is, because it is, and this gets into the whole, like, why Mike Pence won't say the phrase, because it's not just about the phrase. What it is about accepting a very well-organized, since it was hijacked back in 2015, Marxist organization, Black Lives Matter, that they actually came into Ferguson and just completely robbed the actual people who were there trying to establish some kind of reconciliation or work something out with the community and the police department, etc. And you had everybody come in through that Missourians for Organizing, whatever, more, which is what ACORN became. I've written about it, that this has been hijacked since 2015. But he makes a really great point there, Leo Terrell. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. We're talking about this whole thing with the armed couple in Central West End in St. Louis, my hometown. And I'm going to pull this statement up because they released this statement that's so weird to me. And we were talking about this. It happened like right when we were going to break. The statement that the couple released through their attorney is so weird and it seems rushed. And I say it's weird because it is loaded with typos. And I'm not nitpicking here. I'm not trying to be purposefully, I'm not trying to be petty, but they say the headline of it is St. Louis lawyers support Black Lives Matter, but it's S-U-P-O-R-T, and then they misspell straight, wish to set record straight regarding Portland Place protest. And so Mark McCloskey and Patricia McCloskey, they said that they wish to set the record straight about the protest on one hand and the actions of a few individuals who chose to exploit the otherwise peaceful protest to place Mr. and Mrs. McCloskey in fear of imminent harm. They say both Mr. and Mrs. McCloskey are lawyers whose professional careers have punctuated by their longstanding commitment to protecting the civil rights of clients victimized at the hands of law enforcement. And as I said before we went to break, Mark McCloskey is currently representing someone who in 2019 says that he was a victim of police brutality. And they say this commitment of time and resources to this cause continues today in the Isaiah Foreman case. That's the individual. The peaceful protests were not the subject of scorn or disdain by the McCloskeys. To the contrary, they were expecting and supportive of the message of protesters. The actions of violence, destruction of property, and acts of threatening aggression by a few individuals commingling with the peaceful protesters gave rise to trepidation and fear of imminent and grave. I mean, it's just worded so weird. Both Mr. and Mrs. McCloskey acted lawfully on their property, which sits on a private gated lane in the city of St. Louis. Their actions were born solely of fear and apprehension, the genesis of which was not race related. In fact, the agitators responsible for the trepidation were white. And I figure, like, it sounds like they're taking great pains to try to state this, even though there were white and black. It says the Black Lives Matter movement is here to stay. It's the right message and it's about time, said Albert S. Watkins, legal counsel for Mr. and Mrs. McCloskey. The McCloskeys want to make sure no one thinks less of BLM. Basically, they're saying don't burn down our house. Its message and the means of its employing to get its message out because the actions of a few white individuals who tarnished a peaceful protest. So this is the McCloskey saying, oh my gosh, we're now worldwide famous. Please don't burn down our house. That's what they're saying here. That's what this is. So there you go. We were talking about this on break. I kind of wonder whether or not they're Democrats. And I say this for a number of reasons, not their press release, included, but they came out with firearms that clearly neither of them have ever used. And I could tell that he's never handled this before. My husband was talking about this too. He doesn't have a scope on it. It's not built up. It's like he just went and got it. I just find that an interesting observation, because if they are, I look at this. Yes, people have the right, including Democrats, to the Second Amendment self-defense. But also, would this not just be a case of hypocritical Democrats who for so long in a very left-leaning city supported anti-gun Democrats and anti-gun policies only to turn around and then poorly manage firearms when their own policies are turned against them? That's why I bring that up, which to me is a very interesting narrative. Very interesting narrative. So you had asked me a question. What did you ask me?
So they're clearly in the video brandishing their weapon, right? Because they're literally pointing it at people. Is there a so my first question was, are they legally or illegally, however you want to put it, brandishing the weapon, number one? And number two, the statement they put out to reinforce the fact that they felt they're in grave danger and imminent harm, is that in defense?
Are they setting themselves up
for the defense of brandishing?
So with a lot of states have what they call Castle Doctrine, and Missouri is one of those that recognizes Castle Doctrine. And Castle Doctrine is, just to put it in layman's terms, if you feel that your life is in danger and that someone is going to cause harm to you, if you are in your property or dwelling, I'm not going to cite the, but it, basically you don't have to leave your property. You don't have to retreat. That's Castle Doctrine. You can use deadly force to protect yourself, to protect your life. And that it's the consequence of being a criminal to break into someone's home, you might have deadly force used against you, right? Stand your ground is if you're in a public place. So there's the difference between, Castle Doctrine and stand your ground, because Castle Doctrine is about your, a person's home is their castle. So as it relates to this particular case here with the McCloskeys, I think that, again, politics and all of that aside, when you have individuals who break down a gate and it was broken down, that is not up for dispute. Local media even reports it as being busted and broken down. There's video and photos of it by local reporters who I know personally, having lived in that town and worked with a lot of those people, know that they are not right leaning. It was broken down by protesters. So they busted through a private gate, because this is a private historic community within St. Louis City, and it's blocked off by these by a brick wall and a little guard shack and these very imposing gates from the public, for public access from Kings Highway. It's right by Kings Highway. And they broke through and they trespassed, and then they were screaming at everyone and, you know, very loud. That's to me. And I mean, legally, I would think that they're trying to set that up like, okay, well, this was the threat because these people trespassed. We've seen footage. And again, I want to remind everyone that Westmoreland and Portland, this area, I don't know which street they're on, but that neighborhood is literally down the road, literally from where people have been beaten on camera with the St. Louis statue, that whole protest. It is also, being that it's on Kings Highway, you could stay on Kings Highway just a few more minutes and you're boom right there. What is it? Northwest of Tucker and downtown St. Louis, right where David Dorn was murdered by a rioter. So let's not insult everyone's intelligence by acting as though rioters in this city have not already taken lives and caused a lot of destruction. Now, that being said, knowing this and seeing people bust through a private gate and then get into this private area, yeah, they're in fear of their lives. One of the things that I have had drilled into my head in over a decade of doing self-defense classes and all kinds of stuff, and actually there's three things I want to impart to you that relate to your question. The first is that you never point your gun at anything unless you're willing to shoot it. If you point your gun at someone, you're saying, I'm ready to shoot you. That's number one. Number two, you have a responsibility as a law-abiding gun owner to practice de-escalation. That's the other thing that I have been taught in over a decade of self-defense classes, that you are responsible. You're the individual with the means to really, you know, blank some blank up. You need to help de-escalate the situation. And number three, with regards to, you know, the way that they're handling all of this, you need to have a home strategy. A home defense strategy. You have a fire escape strategy, I would imagine, right? Most families do. And your children are aware. This is what happens if you hear the fire alarm go off, or, you know, you have fire escape plans at work and at school. Why would you not have a home defense plan in the event of a home invasion? You're being a responsible homeowner by having this. And if you do not have one, I would highly encourage you, this is the time to get it, to develop it. We have a home defense plan in my house. We've had one in every single house, and we will routinely run drills to measure how, you know, I mean, my kids know what to do, whether your kids hit the floor and roll under the bed, however they do it. Everybody needs to have a role, and intelligent people who are smart are able to relay something like this to children and explain to them, this is what we do in the event that this happens, without scaring them. And clearly, these people did not have a home defense strategy. You would rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Because them being, first off, you're not on high ground. They're walking out their doors wide open. I'm like, and they're, you know, it's just, there's a lot going on here. Now, whether or not they're brandishing, I think she would probably be, because I saw her in multiple photos and video pointing at protesters. But the thing is, it would be, in order to establish that, they would have to admit that they trespassed. They were screaming things like kill the police. And apparently they were threatening this couple. And they were like right there by right up on their toes touching the property. And there was one video showing a guy trying to ascend the steps, which goes beyond the roadway of that private gated residential area and onto the actual the structure's property right there, you know, on their property. And so, I would think it would be very difficult to get them on that. Now, I like to play a lawyer on TV, but I know a lot about firearm law because you have to be a gun owner. You have to know like all of the different, every state has something different. But the thing is that for they're acting in out of fear and in defense of their property and their lives. And the handling and all of that aside, they would not have been out there doing that had these people not busted through private property and shown up and have been screaming threats and all kinds of stuff, which were very, very easily heard no matter what video you watch. And so to get them on something like that, and I've seen some attorneys threatening to have them disbarred and all of this. What are they, personal injury? They're personal injury lawyers, right? I've seen like all different kinds of, there's some left-leaning attorneys who are saying that we should have them disbarred and all this stuff. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't think that that would happen because, again, this mob was brought there. They were looking for Lyda Crewson's house, the mayor of St. Louis. She lives there, back in that street. And they were upset. The mob was mad at her because she had said the names of people who support defunding the police on a live stream. And the protesters said, that's like putting a hit out on us. And so they decided to do that instead and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you guys wanted to defund the police, though. Wait, all the people who are mad at this couple that are standing on their lawn in Central West End, you guys wanted to defund the police. What did you think that would look like? Did you stop at any point and ask yourself, what does it look like defunding the police? What does that mean for average everyday people? Well, it means stuff like this. That's what you're going to see when people feel that they cannot reliably depend upon the police. And when you have city leaders and state leaders calling for defunding of the police, and you have mobs that are given free lawless pass to burn down property and kill retired cops and beat people because they support a statue. Yeah, this is what you get. This is what defunding the police looks like. I'm going to tell you, if you think that it is bad to have law and order subjected to vote and citizenry, you have not seen a damn thing until you dispense with that and it turns into Mad Max. I'm telling you, it's not what you want. We have a lot more to come, including some Florida man. And can I just use that, by the way, as like my justification for disregarding laws that I like? Just like have some social justice call. And I saw that a lot of people were out celebrating Pride over the weekend because apparently gay people are immune to the coronavirus. So why is it that, you know, you can't go to church or you can't, you know, like have, but you can't have a rally, but you can do, where's the consistency? That's what people are asking for.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That was a wild Bloomberg. I ran out of time for this one Friday, but I'm going to push this one in with the others. Okay, so a Tampa man was quarantined alone with hundreds of parrots. But he says it wasn't by choice. His name is Majid Ismaili, and they call him Magic, and he has a few hundred parrots, his only company. And so he sent an email to the Tampa Bay Times with the subject line SOS, and he says, I'm prisoner on my own property with over 200 parrots. No way to get in or out. He's been trapped due to a court order and a property dispute that has landlocked him on his 5-acre Florida bird sanctuary in Tampa, and it's surrounded on all sides by other people's property. So he goes, he's apparently been dealing with birds all day long. He takes care of them. And so now no one can, oh my gosh. And he's like hugs the birds and he gives them treats. And so there, it's a property dispute. But oh my gosh, I am just take a moment. Let's see here. This, a Florida man was arrested because he was accused of pouring beer on a woman. Okay. From Pensacola, 35-year-old Joshua McCarty, who looks like a 60-year-old, poured beer all over a victim. She called police. He was arrested. He was charged with battery. Who wastes beer like that? Wait, unless it was a bad beer, unless it was a Heineken.
That's true.
Heineken smell like farts. Let's just be real about it. No lie. A Florida woman who was shoplifting had a cell phone charger located in an area that only an OBGYN should see.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. This is an actual story. Summerfield, Florida. She was arrested. She was booked in a Walmart. That's where she was stealing, was in a Walmart. She was arrested, taken to jail. That's what the search showed. Stick with us.
Well, Joe Biden doesn't really have much of an agenda. Joe Biden is hiding out in his basement. He has been a weather vane for the Democratic Party fads and fashions for the last 50 years. That's why he was always soft on communism, the Soviet Union. That's why he always voted to outsource our jobs to China. Why he still, to this day, says that China is not one of our competitors. But that means when he gets in office, he is simply going to be a vessel for the radical left of the Democratic Party. Whether it's Elizabeth Warren's economic policies or the mobs that we see in the streets tearing down statues in an instance of mob violence, or passing a D.C. statehood bill.
Yeah, which is also not constitutional. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at Dana Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, DanaLash.com as well. A lot of info up there. Channel 248 Pluto TV via The First. And Senator Cotton is correct on that. And I want to get into, we were talking, finished last week, some of the 2020 stuff with some of the polling coming out. And I see like rumors started by certain kind of establishment-esque operatives who are trying to say, well, if his poll numbers aren't great, you know, it's going to be a vanity hit for him, and he's not going to run. He'll drop out. He won't run for reelection. I mean, some people are actually trying to push this, which is, that's not true. That's not how that's going to work. But I wish that these people would get on the same page with the rest of the people whose vote they expect. I really do. But I was looking at this story. Actually, I was reading, this is one of the first things I was reading this morning after they were discussing the rough polling stretch. I think that after everything that we've seen in the past several weeks, you have to ask yourself, which of the Americas do you want? Do you want a socialist America where police are defunded and you have mobs like busting down gates and threatening homeowners and beating people over statues and killing retired cops? And I mean, name something. Name something. It's peaceful, ain't it? So where do you even, if there's we also have the Louisiana abortion case as well. There's a lot happening. And then we have cancel culture. You know, the biggest cancelization has been life, though, I would say, if you want to have a discussion about the Louisiana abortion case really quickly on that, because I've been watching it, but I'm one person, and I've also been following all of this other stuff as well. The dissent, Roberts's dissent, it's the whole women's health. It's the he voted no 4 years ago. And looking at a tweet from SCOTUS blog, he voted no 4 years ago in a situation where the law is almost identical. And so people were asking, wait, you're missing the chance to overturn the wrong decision of 4 years ago because of precedent? What? This doesn't make. All of the Trump nominees voted conservatively. Roberts didn't. And there's some speculation as to whether or not Roberts is doing so because, and I don't know what to make of this, because he wants to prevent any kind of more conservative ruling from taking place during a Trump administration. Surely that cannot be it. Surely. Come on.
That's not the role of SCOTUS.
Well, I know, but what do you think of some of the speculation as to that point? Because to me, that's like a big reach. That would be a pretty big reach. But it's this case, and Breyer wrote the ruling on it. This focused on Louisiana's restrictions on abortion. And it was these Louisiana doctors in a medical clinic that were trying to get the law overturned because it was 2014 that any doctor that was going to offer abortion services, you had to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles, and its enforcement had been blocked. And so this was the ultimate decision, which if you're talking about improving things for women's health, surely this does not serve that purpose. I mean, would you want to have anything done by someone who did not have admitting privileges?
I would want that safety precaution in place.
Yeah.
I mean, period.
Yeah. So, I mean, predictably, obviously, the progressives came down on the decision the way they did. And then the Roberts one, though, why he wouldn't take up this challenge, because in the whole women's health, he dissented in that. And Roberts even mentions that it just is weird. He said he had no choice. He had to join everybody else. And in fact, this, I want to make sure I quote this properly. This comes this was Breyer, and then some of the Breyer's decision on it, talking about respecting the statement in Whole Woman's Health that it was applying undue burden, et cetera. Here's the plurality expressly acknowledging that we are not considering how to analyze an abortion regulation that does not present a substantial obstacle. That the plurality explains is not the case. And I guess he thinks that the Whole Woman's Health decision was not right either. This is really weird because I think Roberts is, at best, if you wanted to say that he was on the right, he would be a weak moderate. Because whereas I look at some of the things that that maybe Gorsuch and with respect to the Supreme Court decision that we were talking about last week, and how he was, I think, trying to be too much. He was trying to be too less literal and a little bit more. It seemed a little bit more ideological, but I felt like his motivations were intellectually and academically pure, whereas this one, it just, with Roberts, it seems petty. Although, I admittedly may not be the most trusted voice on this, because I have a grudge against him since Obamacare. I will always have it. So I am never, it is impossible for me to look at anything Roberts does through any objective lens, because I feel forever burned by this guy, right?
You say moderate, but I don't even think that's almost, you're being generous, I think, because it's kind of lefty.
I think
it's kind of lefty.
I want to get into some of the cancel culture as well, which is all incredibly important with all of this. You may think that, and I have a ton of these headlines. So, for instance, Golden Girls, they removed a scene of, well, not, it's, the episode is episode 23, season 3. It aired in 1988. And it had to do with Dorothy, B. Arthur. She was going to, her son was going to marry a much older black woman. And Dorothy was very critical of their age difference. And the woman's family disapproved of their daughter marrying a white man. And so they were trying to reconcile that with that. But then in the episode, apparently, all of the women were together and they were all like doing beauty treatments. And they had a mud mask on and it was classified as blackface. And so Hulu removed it. So that's one, because we can't have. Also, The Simpsons. Let me pull this up. This is from Entertainment Weekly. The Simpsons will no longer have white actors play non-white characters. They said that moving forward, the statement that they released on Friday, Hank Azaria, he always did Apu. He said he was not going to do it. And Azaria said what they would like to do is their call. And so now they said that Simpsons will no longer have white actors voice non-white characters. I just have one just little. The Simpsons aren't white. They're also not real, but they're not white.
They're not real?
No, they're not real. Oh. It's acting. I just think whoever brings the most life to the role, it doesn't matter. That's like saying Zoe Saldana can't play the chick that she plays in Avatar because she's not a blue alien. That's, come on, it's a little bit much, right? And then there's BoJack Horseman, Alison Brie, who stars in Glow, and that's actually a really good series. She's expressed regret over having accepted the role of the Vietnamese American character in it. So it's BoJack Horseman, and it's Netflix, and so she says, in hindsight, I wish that I didn't voice that character. I now understand that people of color should always voice people of color. Wait, what? Okay, so. Stop. Come on. Seriously? I don't take any of these people seriously unless they give up the paycheck too. Like all of the pay that you earned. Otherwise, it's empty virtue signaling. I mean, if you really feel as though that you have wronged someone, then you should give up the fruits of that wronging, right? All of the payoff that was brought to you by wronging these individuals, then you should give that back to them. She needs to go and donate that whole check. All of them do. If that's your stance, just to be consistent. Oh, that's not, there's more. So this is, let's see. Da, 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 da. In New York Times, they were trying to push the book of the woman who murdered Andy Warhol. Now, and as this iconic figure. And Peter Hassan at Daily Caller made a good point. We are in an era where we can't even acknowledge the historical background of statues, and everything has to be canceled. But hey, this chick shot Warhol. Let's make it's again. It's all about consistency. We also, I have so many, let me pull this other one up. I'm just trying to go through quickly the headlines that I have for you. And I have some that it's not even on my rundown. A student at a private Baptist university in Texas posted a TikTok video, which I don't, stop using communist technology, posted a TikTok video in which she was claimed that she made a racist social media post. It was a racist TikTok video. A school official said Friday that the student is, quote, no longer enrolled. Hardin-Simmons University in Abilene did not reveal the name of the person who posted the video. They said it was one of the students wearing an HSU t-shirt. And the president, Eric Bruntmeyer, said in a video that it does not reflect our values. And the student, I didn't even see the video, but apparently what they do is that they appear to claim that people overreact to the deaths of black people killed by white people, but don't react the same way to incidents in which a white person is killed by someone who is black. And they made that, and now the student, the school said they immediately took action to address the situation and begin the required disciplinary process. Now, having not seen the video, they only have a screen cap where the individual's face is blurred. Were they making a racist statement, or were they posing what some might consider a controversial premise, that there is unequal reaction? Because one, you may question the manner in which it's presented, but that doesn't necessarily, simply because you disagree with it, make it racist. And without that context, we're going out and we're ruining people's lives because we are trying to reclassify offense as a moral deficiency. And that's a huge problem, because everyone will all do something that is going to offend someone else at a particular point in your lives if you haven't already. And if we're going to now reclassify all of this and appropriate words that have been always defined the worst moral deficiencies in humanity, then that's a really big problem. And that the fact that this school did this. Also, another question. And again, having not seen the video, say that the student just inartfully posted a controversial premise and that it's classified as being this. This is a student at college. A student in college and having platforms like we have now, it's like handing a keys to a Maserati over to a 16-year-old. Why are we not in the business of educating and talking to and rehabilitating and reconciling people? Why do they just have to be canceled and put away? There's no redemption. It's another problem.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So I first learned how popular sheet cakes were in Texas when we moved to Texas. And now, this is going to really kick a lot of people right in the heart in Texas. Costco is discontinuing sales of its popular sheet cakes. Yes, a giant sheet cake for like under $20. There's no immediate plans to bring them back to their bakeries. Costco first discussed this when they were talking about cakes for grad parties. And so they said they're apparently it's all due to pandemic stuff, because all the large scale events are postponed. So that's why. I wonder if it's just Costco or other people are also doing this as well. Margot Robbie is apparently going to star in a new female lead for a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I don't know anything else about it except that it's Birds of Prey writer Christina Hodson, and she's now going to be the lead for the female-fronted Pirates of the Caribbean franchise now that Johnny Depp is on his way out. Let's see. I watched a video of Andrew Cuomo showing a giant mountain, literal like a mashed potato mountain from Close Encounters, except it was supposed to be the coronavirus curve. Federal court has blocked Cuomo and de Blasio from restricting outdoor worship after they had previously condoned protests. Yeah, we have a lot. Also, Cuomo was complaining of political heat over nursing home deaths. Shed a tear for the real Fredo. Stephen Yates joins us next.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Just as I've said to the president, with him, all roads lead to Putin. I don't know what the Russians have on the president politically, personally, financially, or whatever it is, but he wants to ignore, he wants to bring them back into the G8 despite the annexation of Crimea and the invasion of Ukraine, despite what they yielded to him in Syria, despite his intervention into our election, which is well documented by our intelligence community.
No, it's actually, it was never
and despite
well
now possibly this allegation, which we should have been briefed on.
Okay, so that's Nancy Pelosi. Welcome back to the show. If you've been following some of the headlines, there was that story where you had the New York Times and Washington Post each confirming the other story, which is apparently proof nowadays, that Russians were trying to offer bounties to Taliban and the Haqqanis and all kinds of stuff to take out U.S. soldiers. And that, I mean, there's no nothing. There's nothing that actually substantiates any of this. You had Ted Lieu, who was going off on it, trying to make it a huge scandal that, oh, well, we're killing U.S. and allied troops, and the president, he didn't do anything about it. Do you need to offer bounties? I mean, don't they hate us already? On this and another issue, let's go to our friend Stephen Yates, who is a foreign policy expert, having previously worked in the Bush administration, and he's with the D.C. International Advisory at Yates DCIA on Twitter. Stephen, always so good to see you. Welcome back to the show. I hope you had a great weekend. This may be kind of a rhetorical question, and I'm positive that it is, but I don't really, I mean, maybe I'm missing something. I really believe that the Taliban and any other terror faction probably have all the motivation that they need to go out and target U.S. troops and allied troops without being paid to do it. They don't need any bounties to do this. This is such a crazy story, and I'm not surprised that it was really that it was pushed and you by New York Times and all of these other entities, but without actually even confirming any of the information in it, and now it's so embarrassingly disproven by everyone who's involved with intelligence. Give me your thoughts on this and why this way to attack the administration.
Well, Dana, there's a lot to this. There's a lot wrong with it on the domestic side and a lot wrong with it on the foreign theater side of it. On the foreign theater side of it, you're exactly right. The Taliban doesn't need any motivation to hate America or want to kill our troops. The odd part of this is, why in the world would the Russians want to try to intervene there when the president's own strategy is, let's find a way sooner rather than later to bring all of our troops home? So there's nothing on the foreign side of this that makes any sense. On the domestic side of it, the president plays no role in what goes into the president's daily briefing from the intelligence community. The president's chief of staff and other people don't really play a role in what goes to the president. The intelligence community, if it has worthy things and we have active operations, if there was something like this that was real, it would get briefed. But there's no evidence it ever was. And surprise, surprise, if there's any truth to this at all, it got briefed to the press before it got briefed up into anywhere else. And so it's all part of a piece with this deep state gotcha stuff gets immediately hyped beyond belief by Nancy Pelosi and Ted Lieu, who are politicizing intelligence. Apparently, they used to be against that, but now it's super cool.
Yeah.
And it's obviously has nothing whatsoever to do with getting Afghanistan strategy right, dealing with the Russians, or making America safe. So it's just another one of these merry-go-rounds for the American press cycle to concoct something that supposedly is anti-Trump, but it's really nonsense on its foundation.
And it seems as though they expect that people won't ask, well, wait, were NATO member nations, were they apprised of this before you guys decided to leak it to the press and make a big deal out of it? Because I'm wondering how many of these NATO countries started hearing that this was being hyped in the American media before they were even apprised of this information.
Yeah, well, that's all true. I'd also love it if they asked neo-hawk Nancy Pelosi and Ted Lieu, so are you going to go out and have some kind of an assassination operation against Russian operatives? What exactly is your pushback against this allegation of some kind of a dark operation to assassinate our troops. None of it adds up operationally, strategically, or otherwise. It's all political warfare in the United States, which basically started before Trump was elected and has never stopped.
You brought up something that is sticking in my mind, and it worries me greatly when you talk about the intelligence briefing, the daily briefings that are prepared for the president by members of the intelligence community. And we have so much with regards to deep state. I mean, how easy could it be for someone, and how widespread is it? I feel like I'm watching Quantum of Solace, James Bond, where it's an organization where it could even be the person in the room. It's the person preparing the briefing who would want to put fraudulent information in so as to influence the administration to act in a certain way. It's insane that I'm even asking you this, but it's insane that we are at this point, though, with this breakdown of respect for law and order, even at this significant level. How reliable now do we question the reliability of these daily briefings? Should we be doing that?
Well, ever since the Iraq WMD story, people have questioned what makes its way into the president's daily briefing. There's a gap between what we call raw intelligence or field reporting and what becomes polished and assessed and hopefully verified reporting that gets put into these summaries that are the briefing to the president. So that has been a controversy for over a decade, and the Democrats now seem to be on the opposite side of this, where now unfinished, unverified intelligence supposedly went through that to the president, and he just ignored it because he loves Putin. That's a fantastical story, but the real process is we have, at the moment, a report that is completely unverified, and we don't even have it verified that it was reported to the president. And so if it was something that went into the PDB, the president's daily brief, at most, you would have an analyst that would go into the room and maybe answer some follow-up questions, and that person perhaps could leak, and that should be the last day of their job. Right. But we don't have any of the elements of this. This is all theater, and I strongly suspect disinformation. And for all I know, Nancy Pelosi and Ted Lieu are echoing Putin talking points.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the first time, especially with the dossier and everything else that we've seen. And of course, Catherine Herridge was reporting that intelligence officials say that, the NSA, they've assessed this. It does not match well at all with established and verifiable Taliban practices. There's no sufficient reporting to corroborate any links at all. So they get this attention and all of this hype only to have it blow up in their faces. I mean, surely they can't be that short-sighted. Is there another goal here that I'm missing?
Well, I wish that I was not that short-sighted, but I think they are. I think that all they care about is the next round fired in the media spin, and they're just going to keep going with anything true or false to just keep firing and firing and firing at the president and the country, and they just don't care. Their objective is singular. They're not after the truth. They're after the presidency. And so they don't. Only things that count are they useful or not useful, not whether they're true or false. Yeah. And I'm afraid that's where the country has fallen in its politics. And I hope that with all that's going on, demonstrations or this kind of stuff altogether just awakens the silent majority to say we can't be silent, we can't be passive in this.
Right, right. Well, shifting, still talking about terrorism, but at least shifting and looking domestically now. With the coronavirus and the pandemic and the lockdown, I saw it's been reported, at least in European media, that terror groups would like to become super spreaders as a way to have a new form of jihad with the virus. And it sounds, I mean, at first when you hear it, it definitely not good. It's bio warfare. It's terrifying. But it also, I think, in order to really fully embrace the fear of that, you have to ignore the low fatality rates, the fact that apparently this was much more widespread than anyone realized. What are your thoughts on this happening? And if something like this were to happen and there was this attempt by terror groups to super spread, would our officials even be forthcoming with us about this? Or what is your, when you see this, how do you react?
Well, post 9/11, Vice President Cheney and some other senior officials around the White House were trying to think ahead about what other kinds of terror-like activity could take place. Of course, everyone is worried about the worst-case scenarios like a nuclear device, dirty bomb, and all of that. But biocontagions were very much on the radar of What kinds of devices could they use, or how could they be some kind of a super spreader? And so this is something that's actually been gamed out and worried about and hopefully preemptively acted upon for well over a decade. I don't have as much confidence that this has been in the crosshairs of our top homeland and national security people in recent years. I'm actually worried by what lessons are being drawn by our coronavirus experience. While the death rates might be low, the destruction to our economy and our society has been severe. And if someone is looking to do something terrible to the American public and the American political system, these kinds of results are actually good for them. And they can definitely do far worse. So I hope that no matter what the detection is, an attribution problem is, we've got to get better on how we react. Otherwise, they will look to this as a tool to degrade and divide America. And that's ultimately what they want.
I think that's a really good point to make as well, in that it's you can't just say, oh, well, the fatality rate's low, the death rate's low, so we're clear, we're in the clear, it's okay. But when you look at the economic destruction, and now if there is another outbreak in the Sun Belt and we have to kind of take some steps backwards and lock down again as we roll through summer and get closer to an election, you're talking about having something that would completely reshape and in many instances redefine the republic.
It definitely does. It does it in every way, politically, economically, and socially. If you look at where the country was, and frankly, where the politics of this election were in January, you had record unemployment lows. You had record economic growth. You had a lot of optimism and enthusiasm, and everything looked very good for the Republican Party, for the president, and things were basically headed in the right direction. This bolt from the blue with the virus, and then the opportunistic add-on of Antifa and Black Lives Matter protests that followed, it has completely reshaped the thinking of the country and the politics. And so if you were an outsider who wanted to provoke this kind of reaction, this is a dangerous case study for you to internalize.
Gosh, is it ever. Stephen Yates, now we're all sufficiently terrified to go through the rest of the week.
I've done my job. Huh?
At Yates DCIA, Stephen, always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend. Good to see you. We have more in store as we, this is why I'm like, everyone should have always practiced like the hand sanitizer and not touching people and having the 6 foot. Welcome to my world. I'm Bane. Like, I was born in it. You merely adopted it. Just that's how I look at it.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
If you want to see a statue removed, you don't tear it down. You go through the proper legal channels, whether it's Congress or the city council. There has been a split in the civil rights movement, the African American community, for at least a half a century now, between Malcolm X and by any means necessary on the one hand, and Martin Luther King and working through the system on the other. Didn't MLK get a lot more done in a practical sense?
I believe that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a brilliant strategist, especially in the form of media savvy. But what we have to understand is Black people do not trust politicians.
I don't think anybody does, but that's not justification for what we've seen with the riots. I mean, there's one thing, there's protests and then there's riots. DanaLash.com is the site. Make sure you check it out. I was looking at a tweet from the St. Louis city attorney, Kim Gardner, who let a lot of the rioters in St. Louis go. And in fact, yeah, all of them. I'm wondering if one of those was David Dorn's murderer. She had tweeted that she's alarmed at the events that occurred over the weekend where peaceful protesters were met by guns in a violent assault. We must protect the right to peacefully protest, and any attempt to chill it through intimidation or threat of deadly force will not be tolerated. And I said peaceful protesters do this on private property, and I've shared on my Twitter timeline, if you would like to go and look at it, the busted gate. If you would like to go and see it, there's photos of it. And apparently they were even on Lyda Crewson's the steps right by her door. So they were on her private property. That is not considered peaceful. And in fact, considering that just 15 minutes away, there were people beaten at a statue on Art Hill, and down Kings Highway, David Dorn was murdered by rioters. I don't think that that's the best take for Kim Gardner to have. And they had every right to, even though their firearms handling, you can read what I said about that. That's a whole other issue. But the idea that you can just storm into someone's private property and threaten them and scream at them, and there were threats and they were screaming. You can hear all of this in multiple video that's out there. They trespassed on private property. Okay, that's stop. They broke a gate and they trespassed on private property. And what, it's the homeowner's fault for thinking that people who are associated with violent riots that have already killed people would in fact try to do damage to their home? Stop. Today in Stupidity came.
That actually could qualify. Gardner's response totally qualified. All right, so you know how they love to conflate immigration with illegal immigration and all of this stuff, and they tried to stick the Russia thing onto Trump. It just wasn't working. But you know what? Democrats still love to push that Russia hoax.
Just as I've said to the president, with him all roads lead to Putin. He will not. I don't know what the Russians have on the president politically, personally, financially, or whatever it is, but he wants to ignore, bring them back into the G8 despite the annexation of Crimea and the invasion of Ukraine.
It's a false story too. DanaLash.com. I may be on Fox tonight. I will let you know on Twitter or Facebook, official Dana Lash on Facebook, so that's where you can find out the information. I think I'm going to be on Tucker Carlson later tonight. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.
It's the Dana Show.